I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Amen, brother.
Terry and Jesse Show, Holy Hour of Power. Two Catholics with PhDs in common sense. This is where we engage the culture of death with prayer, fasting, full contact Catholicism. Our program is not right versus left, it's right versus wrong. Terry, how are you, my friend?
I'm blessed, Jesse. We almost have 300 men joining us this weekend for the men's conference. It'll be a packed house.
Wow.
We also have our dinner for the monthly donors on Friday. We have a mass at 5 o'clock. And it's not too late if you want to be a monthly donor for Virgin Most Powerful. Call us at 877-526-2151. But you can see I'm standing. I'm really excited today, Jess, because I realize how God has, from all eternity, put you and I together at Virgin Most Powerful. And everybody who listens, God has put you at this time of history to do a specific job that he hasn't given anybody else to do. And I'm excited about that because today, Jesse, after we do the Word of God and Sheen, we're going to be talking about defending the truth of the gospel, of the teachings of the church for 2,000 years. But right now, let's get some soul food in our minds right now, Jess.
Absolutely, Terry. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen, brother.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 19.
Yep.
This is a very short gospel. It's where our Lord basically says, I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Here's what it says. Do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So what does Jesus Christ mean by the law and the prophets? This is a shorthand expression for the entire Old Testament. In other words, Jesus Christ fulfilled everything in the Old Testament. He completely fulfilled the Mosaic law. He completely fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. And that Greek word translated fulfill means to make complete. So now the new covenant thus includes and concludes the old covenant. It both perfects it and transforms it. And the sacrificial laws of the Old Testament, they've expired. When? With the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary. And the moral of the Ten Commandments, they've been retained, but they've been refined. So in the Christian life, the power of the Holy Spirit is necessary if we're to obey the law and grow in holiness. In verse 18, where Jesus says, not one iota, that word, an iota, the Hebrew word, corresponds to the smallest letter. Mm-hmm. It means that the tiny extensions that distinguish similar-looking Hebrew letters from one another. And Terry, on a practical level,
yeah,
somebody who I see that's violating this precept would be, for example, Father James Martin.
Good example. Right? Yep.
I mean, that's a perfect example. When I see Jesus saying this, when he says, therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Of many examples, one is Father James Martin, who is teaching people, objectively speaking, in his books and in his lectures, he's teaching people to break these commandments, specifically the sixth and the ninth, and he's teaching others to do so through social media, through his books, and through his lectures. And guess what? If he doesn't repent, the Bible says he will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Terry, take it away.
Well said, Jesse. And Jesus said in the gospel, if you love me, you'll keep the commandments. That's why an examination of conscience before you go to confession, go through the Ten Commandments. It's as basic as that. That's what we need to do, is love God by obeying his commandments. What I'd like to do right now is bring Fulton Sheen on one of those bullet screens. Woo! Joel Sheen ahead. Bishop Sheen has this to say about spiritual profit. You know, what does a man gain if he loses his soul, right? Here's what Bishop Sheen says. The greatest spiritual profit comes from loving those who hate us and from giving gifts and dinners to those who cannot give anything in return. For then recompense will be made in the kingdom of heaven. You know, Jesse, I got to say this. I have had many times in my life my lower nature kick in when I see evil and I want to do something that I shouldn't do, but I realize through grace, just like Eddie did yesterday with trying to defend the Holy Eucharist.
Oh, what a tough story.
Yeah, you see, Jess, we are gone for the long term. We're going to heaven, man. That's our goal, long term, go to heaven. So we have to control the appetites of our senses. And I got to tell you, for a man, Jess?
Not easy.
It's you took the words.
Not easy.
Are you kidding me? To be honest with you, this isn't a confession. But you know one of the things I confess a lot in my lifetime? My lower nature issues. Yeah.
Right.
I'm honest with you, Jess. That's my cross. So I have to perfect that. But Jess, I think that Fulton Sheen's comment about life is short and eternity is forever. This is envisioning what Virgin Most Powerful Radio is all about, charity with clarity to give you the meaning and purpose of life. That's what we're here for.
Terry, just to show you how far away the kingdom of Christ is, that's us.
Yes.
The Catholic Church,
right
here on earth, the church militant.
Right.
How far we are away from the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
Let's take the month of June, for example.
Dedicated to the Sacred Heart. Should be.
Go ahead. You got the right one.
Yep.
The month of June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus for us as Catholics.
Yep.
However, for the secular humanist in America, the month of June is, guess what? LGBTQ month. And it was signed into executive order by Barack Obama. So it goes to show you, Terry, I'm going to use a Saint Augustine's analogy. The city of God, we call June the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The city of man calls June Pride LGBTQ month. And that's what we're up to. That's why Virgin Most Powerful and other faithful media outlets, I mean, Church Militant, Lepanto Institute, Taylor Marshall Show, there's many out there.
Yep.
That's why we're doing what we do, because we want to give Catholics moral clarity.
That's right.
Because the devil, what does he use? What are his tactics? Lies and deception. And this whole thing about any Catholic that may be involved in Pride Month or celebrating LGBTQR month, Terry, that comes from the pit of hell. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants the Catholics to take their eyes off of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Jesse, I can't say the school today, but I will give this report. It's so bad that at Catholic universities, a big one in Washington, D.C., they have homosexuals running departments at a Catholic university. Okay, I'll give the documentation later, but they're all into, and I hate that word gay. I'm gay. I'm a happy dude. They're homosexuals or lesbians, Jess, and they're running the show. Can you imagine sending your kid to a Catholic school thinking that they're going to get Catholic teachings? And they get just the opposite. But this is what we're up against. So mom and dad, do your due diligence when you send your kids to a school. As a matter of fact, Fulton Sheen said it just years ago. Send your kids to a secular school where he has to fight for his faith. And I think there's some wisdom there. But here's the point, Jess. The point is, we're living in times where one third of America believe in reincarnation. Are you kidding me? So who cares if I die in sin, they're saying, because I'm just going to come back in another version. See, that's a lie, and it comes straight from the pit of hell.
Terry, I want to just give our very sharp audience some homework.
Yeah.
And it'll save me some research.
Sure.
If anybody in the audience can find out, an email either Terry or myself, and find out if Romans chapter 1, the verse that condemns homosexuality, has it been taken out of the three-year lectionary here in the United States?
Canada did have.
I know it was in Canada because I already found the article.
Yeah.
It was taken out in the Canadian lectionary. I don't know if it's been taken out of the U.S. lectionary. So hopefully some sharp liturgist out there, some Orthodox person can do the homework and find out if Romans chapter 1 has been taken out of our I can tell you, I haven't heard it in years at Holy Mass, Terry. I haven't heard it in years, so
there's a reason. I have to do some research on it too, but maybe one of our top listeners can send us the link on that. That'd be great.
Terry, here's another thing. The Supreme Court, good news, has decided not to hear a case put forward by atheist groups which sought to remove the words "In God We Trust" from U.S. currency. And so the national model that's been on all our U.S. currency for more than 50 years, this atheist group was attempting to take "In God We Trust" off of the money. But, you know, they're saying that their constitutional rights have been violated, but the U.S. Supreme Court has decided not to hear the case.
Praise God.
And to table it. So thanks be to God, they didn't have any inroads with the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well said. When we come back, we're going to have a talk about the Declaration of Truth. What is that? Cardinal Burke, Bishop Schneider, and others have come out with this. But I also want to remind you, the men's conference is sold out, okay? But we have a women's conference September 7th, men, called True Femininity with Dr. Barbara Nicolosi and my wife, Mary Danielle. It's going to be September 7th here. It's not too late to go online and register for that, because I'm sure that's going to be sold out by the time we have our conference. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and check that out. And by the way, I just want to let you know, I'm going to be with my wife at St. Gregory the Great Church on the 22nd of this month, along with Matthew Arnold at a Marian conference. St. Gregory the Great. The date, the 22nd of June. We'll be back with much more on Virgin at Whittier. Thank you. This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference, or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith, because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Two men reporting for duty,
sir. I love
Terry,
it. Yes, sir.
You just surprised me. What are we going to play right
now?
I love it.
You know what? My engineer's pulling up Paul Harvey in 1965, folks. had a broadcast called If I Were the Devil. And, you know, Jesse, the things that he says, I want our listeners to listen to this, because everything this man said in 1965 came
to... It hadn't happened yet.
It hadn't happened. He was prophetic. So the Mr. Engineer is going to put it up, and I think he's giving me the thumbs up right now. So here it goes.
You're about to listen to Paul Harvey.
Here it comes.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get
socialism.
Organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves.
Orthodox
until
versus
each in
dissenters.
Its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild.
Values clarification, 1971.
You'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious.
Democrat Socialist Party of America.
I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the
Indian
way to get
Indian reservations.
I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage
Colin
is
Kaepernick.
Old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure.
AIDS.
In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
Wow.
Terry, there's a famous book you turned me on to many years ago. It's in my shelf.
Who's the author?
The priest says the way the church goes is the way...
Monsignor George Kelly, Battle for
go.
The American
yeah.
Church.
Yeah. What's that famous phrase that's in the...
It says where your leaders take you is where
bingo.
The church is going. That's exactly what's going on right now.
And we have some what I would call some Bishop Athanasius is back in the 5th century, the way he... He stood up against the Arian heretics, though he was outnumbered.
Big time.
80% of the bishops back in the 4th century bought into Arianism.
Yep.
And we have a few, you know, Bishop Saint Athanasiuses right now today.
We do.
And one of them, in fact, his name's Cardinal Raymond Burke.
That's right.
The other one is called Bishop Athanasius Snyder, coincidentally. And there's three other prelates, Terry. They've come out with a document called Declaration of Truths.
Beautiful.
Now, they're not going after Pope Francis, for people are saying, oh, these guys are being disobedient. No, they're not. What they see is they see doctrinal confusion and disorientation right now, and they see widespread confusion. So they came out with a 40-point declaration on a lot of the hot-button issues regarding the Catholic faith. And so these prelates, what they're doing with this document is they're trying to assist the papal magisterium. And that's what they say.
Yep.
They want to assist, not confront.
Nope. And not oversee. Just
not
reaffirm.
They want to assist the papal magisterium in this 8-page document that was came out on Monday. Again, it's titled Declaration of the Truths Relating to Some of the Most Common Errors in the Life of the Church of Our Time. And so some of these 40 Catholic truths, let me give you some bullets. They're affirming that there is a hell and those who go there suffer for eternity. They're saying that the church teaching can never contradict what previous church teaching taught.
That's right.
They're saying that Muslims do not offer to God the same supernatural worship as Christians do. They're saying that ecumenism intends that non-Catholics enter the Catholic Church. They're saying that God does not will the diversity of religions. No one has a natural right to choose the moral evil of sin. They're saying anyone in a state of grace has the God-given strength to live a moral life. And Terry, all of these things are done to assist the current magisterium.
That's right. And I love the way they did it, because what they did is they took the issues of the day where there was a lot of confusion. And this is how they said it, Jesse. They say that they're arguing that the faithful, like us, they feel abandoned, finding themselves in a kind of existential periphery, and that such a situation urgently demands concrete remedy. The public declaration of truths they have signed cannot be further delayed. You know what I sense, Jesse? I sense that they probably prayed to Saint Pope Felix III in the 5th century, because he said this: not to oppose error is to approve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when you can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. I believe that they're old men. Okay, Jesse, and so am I, and so are you.
And they're older than we are, Terry.
Yes.
They're closer to the judgment.
They're closer to the judgment. And guess what? You really think they want to meet as a successor of the apostle, Jesus Christ, and he says, okay, what did you do? Well, I didn't do anything. I didn't think I could say it. What can I do? No. They stood up and said, let's reaffirm the perennial teachings of the Catholic faith. And just, I wanted to go through these today and tomorrow. You're going to be driving up to California tomorrow. But Jess, this whole thing about responsibility of bishops, they're shepherds. You know, they're supposed to be fathers to their priests in the diocese. This is what the teachings of the church have said. For example, I'm not management, I'm in sales. But Pope Francis and the popes before him, they all had the same job description: to confirm us in our faith. And right now, I'm just being honest, I see more confusion in my lifetime than I've ever seen. And I've been told, Jesse, like they said here, that this is related to church history. The last time something like this happened was in the 4th century with Arianism, where 80% of the bishops didn't have the right position on the teachings of Christ. So don't say that we have never had this happen before. But you know what I believe, Jesse? What Bishop Sheen said back in the 70s, the lay people are going to save the church. Because I have to say this, the bishops right now, there are some bold bishops, but you know, Jess, I can count them on my hand.
Not enough.
We need more. So that's why we need to pray for our priests and our bishops and the Holy Father. Tomorrow night, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, 2 hours before our Eucharistic King, what are we praying? Prayers of reparation, atonement, and for our leaders, that they will have the guts to speak the truth in charity.
Terry, I count there's 5 signatories of the declaration. Yeah, I've counted
from
5.
Yeah, but most of them are from Bishop Athanasius's country.
Yes, from that diocese out there, right? And what they're doing, they're putting out 40 truths.
Yes.
That they're clearly elucidating.
Yeah.
But what's implied here is that in a lot of these 40 statements, Terry, a lot of the confusion has arisen either by Pope Francis or it's been intensified during Pope Francis's pontificate.
That's a fact.
And so they're addressing these moral errors.
Yep.
Because this harms people. If we as lay Catholics get a false message or a false teaching, it injures our soul.
Of course.
And so this is what the H-Page document is setting out to. Just put up the teachings of the church as they've always been taught. And again, their heart's in the right place because what they want to do, they're trying to assist the magisterium, come alongside the magisterium. Yep. And kind of as a reminder, like, this is what we've always taught about the Holy Eucharist, about marriage, about priestly celibacy, that hell exists, that human souls can go there. This is what we've always talked about. The only religion is positively willed by God is the Catholic faith, you know?
Yeah.
Homosexual acts, gender reassignment. These things are grave sins. They're a rebellion against divine and natural law. And Terry, we need this because as lay Catholics, there's just a lot of confusion in the pews on Sunday.
Jesse, the point that they say, before the eyes of divine judgment, where would you hear that language recently in your lifetime?
That's New Testament language.
I know, Jesse. That's what gets me excited, that he said, before the eyes of divine judgment and in his own conscience, each bishop, priest, and lay faithful, that's us, everyone, has a moral duty to give witness unambiguously to the truths that are in our days are undermined and denied. That's what these priests and bishops are saying. And I would sign my name to this. Okay. And you can go to LifeSite News and sign the petition that you're behind this. And when we come back, Jesse, I want you to talk more about what's in this letter and explain how they back everything up with scripture. It's so beautiful. Like, for example, Timothy, 1 Timothy, he said he's exhorting, fight the good fight of faith. I like that language. It's biblical. You know what it is? It's manly. And I think that some bishops, I'm sorry to have to say, they need a little refresher course in their manliness. Okay, I'm sorry I said it. Why? Because don't be, oh, well, we can't say that. Maybe someone might get mad at me. Tell us the truth like Bishop Tobin did up in Rhode Island.
Providence.
And tells everybody, don't go to the homosexual. You know what I call it? A gay parade? I'm not going to call it the homosexual parade. It's dangerous to your soul. And then you find people saying, oh, he's mean-spirited. No, you know what he is? Clarity with charity. I'd hire him in a heartbeat for that kind of guy. We need more bishops like that. That's my take, Jess.
I like this one quote from a church father of St. Gregory of Nazianzus.
Yeah.
He says, quote, God does not delight in numbers, close quote. In other words, he's talking about don't go with the flow.
Nope.
Don't go with the majority. The majority just may be wrong. And the Arian crisis is proof positive of that.
Your mother taught you that when you were a kid. Do it. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, catholicrc.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Jesse, I'm so pumped right now. At 62 years of age, I went and did some push-ups, brother. You know why? Because I am so excited that we can proclaim the teachings of the church. And I'm excited that these bishops came out with this declaration of truth. Because you know what, Jess? They teach the faith so clearly. Like this declaration, they say, implies that discussing the truth or making one's private opinion to be doctrine is very unpastoral. I never heard anybody say it that way. He said, and that confusing others, scandalizing them by watering down the faith, are seeming to contradict Catholic tradition is not helpful for people's spiritual or emotional lives. Just that statement there says it all for people who say, in my opinion, who cares about your opinion? I want to know what Jesus Christ teaches.
Okay, what you just said right there,
yeah,
that's a classic definition of modernism.
Exactly.
Here's what I mean by that. Modernism is a theological term used by the Catholic Church in her official documents. And here's what it means. Modernism basically came from the French Revolution era, where there was just an emphasis on forget theology, all we care about is psychology, psychiatry, and sociology.
Right.
Modernism seeks to give a human explanation for everything. Everything has a natural explanation.
You bet.
There is no supernatural explanation. All those things are myths. They're medieval. It's medieval piety. It doesn't exist. Modernism embraces what's called extreme rationalism. And once again, everything about the faith, a modernist will say, has a human response and a human judgment. And that's what we're dealing with right now, Terry.
Yes, we are, Jess.
Is we've entered, I think a lot of our bishops, a lot of our clergy are afraid in 2019 to proclaim that we have a supernatural religion.
Nailed it.
Started by a supernatural being called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that what happens at Holy Mass is a supernatural event. And I think what we're trying to do, the modernists have tried to do, is they're trying to make peace with the world.
Exactly.
And
compromise.
And how do you do that? You just downplay the supernatural, and you try to horizontalize our Catholic faith, and especially when it comes to doctrines that are supernatural, and they may be offensive to modern ears. This is what these faithful prelates, these five signatories, in the 40 truths that they've elucidated, they're saying once again what the church has taught for 2,000 years, because, Terry, there seems to be a denial or what we could say, what modernists also do, sometimes they won't deny the truth precisely, but what they'll do is this, Terry, they'll lower the bar.
That's right.
They'll say, okay, this is the ideal, but I get it. You can't do that. It's impossible to do that. So here's the new rules. That's what modernists will do, Terry.
Continue, but I want to give you an example concretely.
Give an example.
An example is
flesh
marriage.
It out.
Is marriage. Okay, the ideal is that Terry, Jesse, when we marry our wives, the ideal is married for life. But you know what, Jess? Hey, you know, things happen, and you know, a younger girl comes along, and you know, you drop your wife and you get married again. We understand that happens, and you know, the ideal was for that marriage is for life. But you know what? God loves you, brother, and congratulations on your new wife. I've heard people say it that way, and you know what? They're wrong. So, Jesse, you nailed it. I even think, and tell me about this, even with the Bible, they think there's an expiration date on the Bible. They think that, oh, we're reading it today. That means, well, St. Paul was, he was really hard on women. Oh, he was really hard on people with same-sex attraction. We've come a long way. That the Bible really isn't applied to us in 2020 or 19. Jess, haven't you heard that, bro?
Well, Terry, that's why, for example, the entire Orthodox biblical theology movement, like Dr. Scott Hahn, you have the St. Augustine Institute
in Denver.
You got Brad Petrie, his apostolate.
He's part of the Augustine Institute now.
So you have all these new theologians that are going back to the fathers church, the scholastics.
Right. Yep.
And they're saying, no. We don't quote Karl Rahner. We're not quoting Skillebex. We're quoting Thomas Aquinas. We're quoting Augustine. Right. So again, that's why this whole new movement of these new biblical theologians has come about. Is because modernism has also affected biblical theology. But going back to the article, here it says, in an explanatory note replete with references to St. Paul, the fathers of the church, and the documents of Vatican II, the cardinals and bishops, these five signatories of the declaration, write that the church is experiencing one of the greatest spiritual epidemics in her history.
For sure.
And a widespread lethargy in the exercise of the magisterium on different levels of the church's hierarchy in our days. So
he's
talking about an epidemic. This is like a disease. And the disease, I think, is once again, it's modernism. And then the disease is, Terry, at times I'm confused because at times Pope Francis wants to centralize everything.
Yep.
And I like when he takes charge.
Sure.
I like him to take charge, but be completely open about it. For example, he took charge of the priest scandals in the U.S. and he had the sex summit meeting in the Vatican. But then what happened? All he says, okay, lay people can't investigate anything. The bishops are going to investigate themselves. So he took charge, but he gave us the medicine of 2002 that Cardinal Theodore McCarrick gave us, and it failed, Terry.
That's right.
And then other times, Pope Francis, I get a little confused because what he'll do, instead of taking charge on things that maybe I think he should take charge, like the uniformity of the liturgy or something, he'll invoke synodality. And then he'll say, well, you know what? Each bishop and diocese are allowed to do as they see fit. So sometimes he implements the magisterium of, okay, I'm going to take charge of this. And then sometimes he allows bishops to take charge of their diocese. So once again, that's why in the article it says there's a widespread lethargy in the exercise of the magisterium on different levels of the church's hierarchy in our days.
And Jesse, I like when they say that they're emphasizing the declaration is being issued in the spirit of Christian charity. And they quote scripture all through this. St. Paul, they note that such charity is shown by caring for the spiritual health both of shepherds and the faithful and all members of the body of Christ. And you know what I really like too, Jesse, is that it's dated May 31st, 2019, a liturgical feast of the Visitation in the new calendar and the feast of Our Lady Virgin and Queen in the old calendar and the optional feast of Our Lady of Mediatrix of All Graces. You know what, Jess? They're imploring Our Lady to clean up the children of God, and I think that's appropriate.
And it's interesting that it was issued in a feast, one of the feast days of Our Lady, in both the
old and new,
the old and new.
Yep.
And also, what's interesting is that the language that they're using, Terry, mm-hmm. is that there's general doctrinal confusion
Big
and
time.
Disorientation Big in the life of the church. Well, guess what? That's the language that was used by Sister Lucia in one of her letters, letters, where she said that we are going to enter a time of diabolical disorientation. And so the language that's being used here by these five prelates and Sister Lucia, the last Fatima survivor, is virtually the same language. And again, these bishops and cardinals that have emphasized in the declaration, they're saying it's being issued for what? It's saying in the spirit of Christian charity.
I love it. God love them.
Yeah, they're saying for the spiritual health,
that's right.
both of shepherds and the faithful, that is, of all the members of Christ's body. And I'll tell you why they're saying that, Terry, is because truth sets us free,
that's
according
right.
to the Master. Okay,
right.
And so if you don't receive the truth, the opposite of truth is lies. Well, we know that if you embrace a lie, it could be dangerous. It's more dangerous than cancer. It's more dangerous than any physical. It's more dangerous than AIDS. To embrace a lie, Terry, in your heart means to embrace mortal sin, and that leads to eternal damnation.
Well said, Jesse. Not only Fatima, but Akita in Japan in the early 70s. Basically, we've said this before. What did Our Lady say? Cardinals opposing cardinals, bishops against other bishops. I'm going to be honest with you. Bishop Strickland, okay, over in Tyler, Texas. Jess, you and I both have had him on our show.
He's a man's man.
You know what my friend who works for the diocese told me when he goes to the bishops' conference? And I want to pray today for our bishops because they're meeting as we speak.
Oh, that's right.
In Baltimore, Maryland. Let's pray, and then I'm going to tell you how Bishop Strickland, I'll just be blunt with you, blunt, very direct. He is treated like trash, and I'll tell you why. Because he speaks the truth. Nobody wants to associate with him when he's at that bishops' conference. Very few, because he's not afraid to tell the bishops, his brother bishops, we got to clean our act up. So I say, let's pray for him and all the bishops. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, please, we pray for our shepherds that are meeting in Baltimore, Maryland, that you'll give them the grace to speak the truth with clarity and charity. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jerry, objectively speaking,
yeah, tell me, brother.
Our Holy Father at the time, at this present moment,
yeah,
he has dissenting bad prelates that are in charge of the USCCB.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I mean by that, you'll notice when the USCCB has their meetings, all the good bishops, Terry, they have no voice there.
No.
They're just sitting there with a notepad and a pencil. They have absolutely no voice. Who do you see stepping up, Terry? You'll see, you know,
Kupich.
You'll see the bad Tobin.
Yep.
You know, you'll see all the, you know, Mahoney. Mm-hmm. You'll see these prelates that have been part of the Lavender Mafia, the St. Gallen Mafia. They've been part of the dissenting clergy since Vatican II. They're the ones, Terry, that have the voice box at the USCCB meetings. All you got to do is watch it.
That's right.
All the good bishops, say about 30 or 40, they have they're like, sit down,
shut up
in the corner and listen, and we run these meetings. And that, in my opinion, that has to come from the top.
Yes.
I'm not stupid. That has to come from the top.
When we come back, I want to explain how this declaration is composed of four parts. The fundamentals of faith, the creed, the law of God, and the sacraments. It's like a catechism. I love it. I praise God that Bishop Burke and Bishop Athanasius and others have come out with this declaration. We're going to give
you more. Hallelujah.
And amen, hallelujah. We'll be back with much more on Virgin Most Powerful. This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
CIA, Catholics in Action. Hey, by the way, tomorrow night I'm going to be traveling to Southern California.
Where are you going to be?
I'll be tomorrow night at Holy Family Church in Orange.
Oh, great.
7 o'clock, Holy Family Church in Orange. I'll be speaking about Virgin Most Powerful, Why Satan Fears Mary.
Awesome.
Why Satan Fears Mary. Come on out and see the power of Our Lady over the devil. I'll give you all the scripture, all the patristic arguments, and you'll never see the rosary the same again.
Jesse,
Terry, we're talking about this declaration composed of by five prelates.
Yeah,
where they're just trying to assist the magisterium. Five or four prelates?
Yeah, there's five prelates. But let me just say this before we go into the how they have it divided up to the fundamentals of the faith, that on our website, we have a pledge people can sign against modernism. And if you haven't done that, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and sign the pledge. Read it. It's not that long to read, but Jesse gave a good summary of it. But Jesse, yeah, let's talk about, you know, the four parts, the fundamentals of the faith, the creed, the law of God, and the sacraments. Go to it, brother.
By the way, what Terry just said right now, that's the way all the catechisms are composed.
Yes, of course.
Those are what's called the four parts of the catechism, what Terry just said right there.
Yeah.
So these five prelates, all they're doing is reaffirming 2,000 years of catechetical tradition.
Yep.
So the first part is on the fundamentals of faith.
That's right.
And that addresses the attacks against the church's infallibility and the problem of doctrinal relativism.
Explain
I think
that.
That's the main part that they're trying to address, Terry.
Yeah. What is relativism, Jesse? We talked over the years.
Doctrinal relativism, it's the belief that the meaning of Catholic doctrine changes or evolves.
Like the weather.
Yes, depending on the historic age or circumstances. In other words, it's like, you know, licking your finger and holding it up to see which way the wind is blowing.
Give me a break.
And this is something that is not Catholic.
That's
doctrine doesn't evolve. Now, doctrine can develop in this sense. There can be deeper understanding upon something that's already been believed since time immemorial. For example, I would argue that in the 4th century, at the time of St. Augustine, he knew more about the inner life of the Holy Trinity than the apostles did. Then I would argue that at the time of the Middle Ages, at the time of Suarez and Scotus and Aquinas, I would say that they knew more about the Holy Trinity, the interior life, than, say, Augustine did. So doctrine could develop. In other words, we know more about what's the deposit of faith that's already been revealed, but it doesn't evolve. A lizard does not change into a fish, and a fish does not change into a turtle doctrinally, Terry.
Just to give a big word, hermeneutic of continuity. So it's the development of doctrine includes the truth that whatever new insights may be expressed regarding the deposit of faith, nevertheless, they cannot be contrary to what the church has always proposed in the same dogma and in the same sense and in the same meaning. Just give an example as weddings, marriage. You can't change what Christ taught and say, okay, well, now you can have a second marriage and you're okay with that. See, that's not development. That's error.
That's a discontinuity. In other words, as Catholics, we have continuity of doctrine or discontinuity, and that would be discontinuity. And that's one of the 40 points, Terry, that these five prelates, they say that this is something that is, they're trying to assist the current magisterium in saying, hey, the teaching on marriage, this is what it's always been. And so that's one of the 40 points that they've put on this Declaration of Truth in order, again, not to go against Pope Francis, you know, as a debate, but to assist him in the current magisterium of the church.
All right, we got a good call from El Cajon. Gary or Jorge, I'm not sure. Gary, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, brother.
Hey, guys, this is George El Cajon.
George, okay. Jorge, yeah, I get you. George, Jorge, what's on your mind, brother?
Not much.
Aren't you wanting to be a priest? Aren't you the guy that called us before, or am I hitting the wrong guy?
No, you're hitting the right guy, man.
Good, I'll hit you with the left and the right, but tell me what's on your mind, brother.
No, man, I'm going to hit you guys in the gut right
good.
Now.
Good, okay, hit me. Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Sucker punch.
No, what you guys are talking about, the infiltration or the liberalism of, I don't even say the order, but just.
Of our church, of our faith.
Yeah. So tell me what happened to you.
Well, basically, the person.
George, you're breaking
up. Breaking up, brother. Get to a good, go back a few steps.
Yeah, stop
or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
We want to hear because I know you were wanting to get to become a priest. What happened to you while you were doing your, you know, due diligence to try and get into an order? I want to hear it.
Right. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead. Stay still.
Now
what happened? Yeah. What happened?
No. Yeah, well, basically in an interview, I got interviewed by one person.
Yeah.
Everything was going well. They asked me of my ministries. I participated in helping the poor.
Good.
And 40 Days for Life and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Prison ministries. But, well, the point is that one person asked me about my having a problem with my dad. And I'm going to let you guys know, my father was molested as a child.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Mexico is a priest. But I didn't want to tell him that, but they asked me, and I told them that my father's concern was that within the seminaries, and I said this just this way, that not everybody who enters, and I think this is what ruffled his feathers, is that I said are not homosexuals, but there are, and I said there are some, but I'm not there for them.
Yeah, exactly.
I told the guy, I'm there for Jesus.
Amen.
And I think this left an impression for him. And then at the end of the interview, he came and asked me if he wanted to talk to me. And he just basically told me that I was not suited because of my ideas that are so set. And this is what I'm concluding, that I get, because he was a formation director before.
Yeah.
And I did see seminarians, novice, one in particular, or a couple, I'm sorry, very effeminate. I mean strong, and one with an earring. And it might sound like I'm hurt because this happened a month ago, and I wanted to just assimilate it. But it's sad to see that they don't accept real men who want to really serve God and put on the shield
still
of
going
God
on.
And everything.
Yep.
Amen. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and it's still happening. I'm so sad. Tell more. Tell us more, Jorge.
No, and throughout the year, because it was a long process. It was a year and a half process.
Wow.
And I heard some things, and I saw some things, like they wanted to remove the railings. I had so much liberal-minded to that point. And I am still funny because it didn't hurt me anything. And actually, it gave me more strength to be more strong in my faith.
Good.
But yeah, it's just to let you know that you guys are telling the truth. I mean, that's why I'm calling in, that we need to change this whole thing. And
we do.
You know, come back to the old traditional ways of, you know, kneeling, receiving that host in the tongue.
Absolutely.
In the hand, you know, and just being reverent. We're losing that culture. We're losing our tradition.
Yes.
But just to let you guys know, you know.
Thank you. All right. I want to talk to you after the show. So my cell
Absolutely.
Number is 661-972-7872. Gary, Jorge, what you just said has been going on for about 50 years. Jesse, how many guys have we talked to that have had the same exact thing when they go to get their interview? And why do you think so many, I'm sorry to say, I have to say this now, the cat's out of the bag, that this is typical, unfortunately, Jorge, what you saw and what you heard, this is what's been going on for 50 years.
I've been told by, I'd probably say without exaggerating, about 30 Catholic priests, about 30. And they're in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. That's where I lived most of my life.
Yeah.
About 30 very good priests out there that I know, I won't mention their names, they've all told me that when they went to St. John's Seminary in the 70s and 80s and 90s,
they did.
In order to get accepted as St. John's, when they would ask, so what's your take on homosexuality? Are you against it? Are you what do you believe about it? They already knew. They said the person that was interviewing us was already, you could tell, very pro-homosexual. So they said, we'd been warned by other people, if you quote the teachings of the Catholic Church, you're gone.
Yep.
So a lot of the good priests that I know in L.A., they said, you know what, hey, that's whatever, you know, live and let live, whatever they feel like doing, that's fine. They gave the PC, you know, liberal modernist answer, and they were brought right in. They were accepted, and now they're very good holy priests preaching thunder from their pulpit. But they've all told me, they knew good people, that if you said that this is a grave offense, if it's done with full knowledge, deliberate consent, it's a mortal sin, you'd be gone. There is virtually no seminary back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s that would have taken you in by giving the proper Catholic response to that question.
No, and just to make another point,
sure.
I wrote a letter to the vocations director.
Good.
And he wrote me back, and he wrote me back that he agreed to everything that I said as far as questioning why did this person, this brother, didn't tell me exactly what was the concern of me being a stubborn person or being so
rigid
in my ways. But he wouldn't tell me. So I wrote the letter, and the vocations director said, you know what, I agree with everything you said. You had the good, everything was good, because it was a year process. I passed the interview as far as the psychological and everything. So I'm a straight guy. I'm a straight man. No criminal record.
Okay.
But apparently this just ruffled his feathers. And
yeah, we're going to help you after the show, brother. I just got to say this, George, or Jorge in Spanish. I just got to say this. Thank you for bringing this up, because I'll tell you what, brother. Nobody else wants to talk about this, and it's because they're afraid that they might offend somebody. Well, you know what? It's the truth that's going to come out and set us free. Jesse and I have been saying it for years, and I just want to encourage you to not be discouraged on your vocation for the priesthood. Because after the show, brother, I want to give you some encouraging words. Jess, does this inspire you to run into a young man who wants to become a Catholic priest, thinking that God's calling him, and he's not going to let this get in the way? I love it.
That's right. That's what St. Paul calls fighting the good fight of faith, and that's what we're all called to do. We're called to become holy or die trying, and we'll become holy until we drop dead. Yep. Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you after
Thanks
the program.
Thanks again, Jorge. God love you.
Yeah.
Hey,
you
hey Jesse.
I love you guys.
God bless you.
Love you too, bro. You're going to be calling in tomorrow on the freeway with Matt.
On the 10 freeway.
And we're going to be covering more of this document, the Declaration of Truth. Because, again, what's Virgin Most Powerful Radio all about? Getting you to heaven. And, Jess, we end always like this. What state should we be living in? Not Arizona or California. Go ahead.
Nope. Live in a state of grace. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. As St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. Terry.
Well, I want to thank everybody. We hope to see everybody this weekend for the
Let me conference. Just mention real quick again. I'll be on Thursday. I'll be at a Holy Family in Orange.
Orange County.
7 o'clock, talking about why the devil fears Mary.
At Terry, 7 o'clock. And that's Thursday night, Jess?
Thursday night.
Yeah, you got it. And then Friday we'll have our mass at 5 o'clock for the monthly donors. And then all the Mexican food you can eat on at 6:30 after Holy Mass. I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'd like to show you our chapel. I'd like to show you our studio. It's what you've been supporting. May God richly bless you and your family. Full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.